بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد The author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى In the chapter he has entitled باب جامع The all-inclusive chapter باب جامع Containing many different narrations that touch on many different subjects clarifying many different rulings and regulations all of them related to as-salah we have read some of that which the author he has mentioned and we continue an Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu an an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam annahu qala man nasiya salatan falyusalliha idha dhakaraha لا كفارة لها إلا ذلك وأقيم الصلاة لذكري The author, he mentioned the narration of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he said that whoever forgot a prayer then let him pray it whenever he remembers then let him pray it whenever he remembers it there is no expiation for that prayer except for that meaning except for to pray it whenever one remembers. And he mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal as an evidence for this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa aqim as-salata li dhikri, and establish the salah li dhikri. The people of knowledge, they have mentioned that this word here, li dhikri, for my remembrance, yani that it has two interpretations. And one of them is what is understood in the evidence here and establish the prayer at my remembrance or whenever you remember me. So whenever the person, if he had forgotten, whenever he remembers Allah, he will remember the salah. He will remember the salah. So likewise, a person who forgot to pray, whenever he remembers Allah, he will remember that he had a prayer to pray. Wa aqim as-salata li dhikri. The other interpretation of this verse And it's understood likewise any for my remembrance, meaning the purpose of the prayer is to be established for the remembrance of Allah. But in any case, here we see that the one who forgets a prayer, and then he remembers, then he will pray it. Then he will pray that prayer, and that's the expiation for that prayer. And there's no expiation except for this. And the author, he says, وَلِي مُسْلِمٍ And in one wording by Al-Imam Muslim, مَن نَسِيَ صَلَاةً أَوْ نَامَ عَنْهَا فَكَفَارَتُهَا أَنْ يُصَلِّيَهَا إِذَا ذَكَرَهَا And whoever forgot a prayer, or he slept on the prayer, and in the time passed, then the expiation for that is to pray it whenever he remembers. To pray it whenever he remembers. So we see here there are a number of issues related to this narration. First one, we see that sleeping, and forgetfulness is a legislated excuse for missing an obligation. Sleeping and forgetfulness is a legislated excuse for missing an obligation. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَلْيُصَلِّهَا إِذَا ذَكَرَهَا But he has to pray it whenever he remembers. So the obligation did not fall off, but the fact that the time passed and he did not fulfill that obligation in the proper time, he's not held accountable for that because of forgetfulness, or because of sleep, or because of sleep. So the sin is removed from him, and he's not held accountable for that sin and that error, but he must fulfill the obligation, and the obligation remains. And this is clear with regards to the issue of forgetfulness. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَعْنَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned, and we just heard in Salat al-Maghrib, Alhamdulillah, the Imam recited those verses, Oh, our Lord, do not take us to account, and he hold us to account for our sins whenever we forget or make a mistake. When we do something incorrect, unintentionally. So this is the case here with regards to forgetfulness. That issue is clear. As for with regards to sleeping on the prayer, the origin is that if a person he were to sleep on the prayer, he's not held accountable likewise. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Rufi'a al-qalamu an thalath, that the pen has been lifted from three. And in Na'imi hatta yastayqidha, and from them, the one who's sleeping until he wakes. Wasabi hatta yakbura, and yahtarim, and the child until he reaches the age of puberty. Wal-majnoon hatta yufiqa, and the one who has lost his sanity until he regains his sanity. So therefore, the one who is sleeping, if something happened while he's sleeping and he left off an obligation, because of his sleep, he's not held accountable. He's not held accountable. And this is the case here, and has been narrated by Abi Qatada radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Laysa fi an-nawmi tafriṭun," that sleep, in sleep there is not negligence. Negligence is not because of sleeping. إِنَّمَا تَفْرِيطُ عَلَى مَنْ لَمْ يُصَلِّ حَتَّى يَجِئَ وَقْتُ الصَّلَاةِ الْأُخْرَى. But negligence is only on the one who did not pray until the time of the next prayer came. And intentionally, this one is considered negligent. So the one who's sleeping, he's not considered negligent. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَمَنْ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ فَلْيُصَلِّيهَا. فَمَنْ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ فَلْيُصَّلِّحَ حِينَ يَنْتَبِهُ لَهَا. And then whoever did that, meaning whoever slept on the prayer, then let him pray whenever he wakes up, and whenever he realizes that he slept on the prayer. So this is the case. The origin is there's no negligence, and a person is not held accountable for that. But the people of knowledge, they clarify, this is the case for the one who unintentionally slept on the prayer. As for the one who purposely slept on their prayer, this has a different ruling, and this is not allowed. And some people, they'll do that. And they will set the alarm clock, for example, intentionally for the time they go to work. And that's after the sunrise, for example. And they will go to sleep with the intention of waking up after the sunrise. This is not allowed, and this is not permissible. And this person here, he has no uzr. He has no excuse. This person here has no excuse. For the, one of the conditions for the excuse of sleeping to be accepted is that the person, he will not go to sleep with the intention of not getting up in time. لا يبيت النية على إخراج الصلاة عن وقتها. He will not go to sleep with the intention of taking the prayer out of its time. And some person like this, for example, if he had the intention, he set his alarm to wake up, and he went to sleep with the intention to wake up after Fajr, and after the shuruq, and just before he goes to work and pray. Like this, he had the intention to do that, and this one, he's not excused. And this one, he's not excused. Rather, he has delayed the prayer on purpose. Rather, he has delayed the prayer on purpose. And this is a major sin. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And this is a foul intention, to have this intention and to know the time is going to pass and to intend to miss it on purpose. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And likewise, the one who misses the prayer because of sleeping, but out of negligence from himself, and he didn't take the means to wake up. He didn't take the means to wake up, or if he knows he's a hard sleeper, or if he knows that he's going to bed late, for example, and he is not taking the means to wake up, he's not setting an alarm, and he's relying upon this, that whoever slept on the prayer, he will be excused because of his sleeping, and he will take advantage of that. Likewise, he's not excused. Likewise, he's not excused. Rather, he has to take the means. He has to take the means. So if a person, he took the means, he set the alarm clock, or he asked somebody to wake him up, and then on top of all of that, he slept through the prayer, or something happened, and while he's sleeping, he turned the alarm off, he's extremely tired and didn't realize, for example, or whatever the case may be, or maybe the alarm clock did not go off for him, and he did not wake up until the shuruq came, then this person, he's excused. He's excused from blame, and there's no sin upon him. He has an excuse because of sleeping. And then after that, the obligation remains upon him, and he will pray whenever he wakes up. So this is the case with regards to the issue of the one who slept. And not sleeping is not an excuse in all circumstances. It's only an excuse for the one who took the means. As for the one who did not take the means, where he intentionally delayed it on purpose, and he went to sleep with the intention of delaying the prayer for the proper time, then this one, he's not excused. In any case, the obligation remains. And likewise, from the benefits of this narration, it's clear that it's an obligation to make up that missed prayer and to make it up immediately. And this is from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَلْيُصَلِّيهَا إِذَا ذَكَرَهَا. Then let him pray it, and he must pray it. The lam here is lam al-amr. Lam al-amr, this is a command, that he must pray it whenever he remembers it. So therefore, he must hasten to fulfill that obligation. So therefore, he must hasten to fulfill that obligation. There's an issue here with regards to making up that prayer. And it could be performed. A person, maybe he will sleep until the time is finished entirely, or maybe he will sleep until the very last moment. Maybe he'll wake up just moments before sunrise. For example, he'll wake up just moments before sunrise. Or if he slept after Asr, for example, or after Dhuhr, close to Asr, and he did not wake up for Asr, all the way until almost time for the setting of the sun, then the issue here is, if he performed one rak'ah before the sun rises, or one rak'ah before the sun sets, then he has caught the prayer in his proper time, and he's excused. So there's an issue here with regards to the prayer. And there's some more vocabulary words that we can learn. We have the issue of al-ada', al-ada'u, min adda yu'addi. And the ism masdar is al-ada', al-ada', it means performance. But here, with regards to the chapter of Salah, it means performing the prayer in the proper time. Performing the prayer in the proper time. The one who performed the prayer in the proper time, his prayer is performed ada'an. Ada'an. And then we have what is called the opposite of that, which is al-qada'. Al-qada'. Min qada' yaqdi. Iqdi qada'an. Qada' here, and the word qada' has many meanings. But here in the chapter of Salah, it means to make up the prayer. That you make up their prayer. And in the issues of ibadat, in general, the qada, the people of knowledge, they mention mafu' ila ba'da waqtihi al-muhaddadi lahu. Yani min al-ibadat, the actions of worship that are performed after its specific time. And the time for that worship passed. And now they have to perform that act of worship. This now is not considered performing it in the proper time. It's not going to be considered ada'. Rather, it will be considered qada. Now he's not making it in the proper time, rather he has to make it up. He has to make it up. So the prayer that is qada, that is ada, is not like the prayer that is qada. Yani the obligation for the prayer to be performed in the proper time. Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaban mawquta. And mafruda fi awqatin mu'ayyana. Fi awqatin mu'ayyana. The verity of the salat has been prescribed upon the believers at specific times. At specific times. So the one who performs it in the specific time, he performed it ada'an. And the one who the time passed on him and he did not perform it in that specific time, he performed it qada'an. Qada'an. So this is the case. So al-ada' is the opposite of al-qada', is the opposite of al-qada'. So therefore, he has to make it up right away. He has to make it up right away. If he caught the prayer before the sun rises, one rak'ah of that prayer, then he caught the prayer ada'an. And if he did not catch one rak'ah before the sun rises, then he has made al-qada', he made up the prayer. Likewise with the sunset. And it's been collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أدرك من الصبح ركعتين قبل أن تطلع الشمس فقد أدرك الصبح. That whoever catches one rak'ah from the morning prayer before the sun rises, then verily he caught the morning prayer. وَمَنْ أَدْرَكَ رَكَعَةً مِنَ الْعَصْرِ قَبْلَ أَنْ تَغْرُبَ الشَّمْسِ فَقَدْ أَدْرَكَ الْعَصْرِ. And whoever catches one rak'ah from Asr before the sun sets, then verily he caught Asr. And one rak'ah meaning one rak'ah, what is intended to catch one rak'ah. And he made that rak'ah. And in that time, then he has performed that prayer. And some of the wordings of this narration, فَلْيُتِمَّهَا, and then let him finish it. Then let him finish it. So even if it's in this time where it's almost a time of prohibition, it's allowed, and if he remembered and he woke up and he just has this brief period, then he'll perform it in that manner. Then he'll perform it in that manner. And this is the case. And this is the case. The people of knowledge, they mention about al-qada. They say al-qada'u yahki al-ada', al-qada'u yahki al-ada', that making up the prayer, it is exactly like performing the prayer. It's exactly like performing the prayer. So if somebody missed a prayer in the nighttime and he remembered in the daytime, he will perform it as the prayer is, meaning he will recite out loud. He will recite out loud. If he is making up a prayer from the daytime and he remembered in the nighttime, then he will perform it silently. He'll perform it silently. If he's traveling and he forgot that prayer while he's traveling and he remembered while he's traveling, then he will make the prayer up shortened. if it was from those prayers that are shortened. But if he did not remember until he got to his residence, then he'll make it up entirely. He'll make it up entirely. So this is the issue here, al-qadha'u yahki al-ada. And there are a number of narrations to clarify this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he slept on the prayer before. And this occurred, and they're traveling in a journey. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, arrasa. Yani he stopped in his travels at the end of the night. It's called ta'ris, to come down and from the travels and to relax at the very last portion of the night. So they're tired. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked, who will stay up for us and wake us up, yani for Fajr? And Bilal radiallahu anhu, he took on this obligation and he stayed up. But then it just so happened that he dozed off radiallahu anhu, and no one woke up until the sun had risen. And this is in a hadith of Abi Qatada in Sahih Muslim. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered them, and after they woke up, he ordered Bilal. ثُمَّ أَذَّنَ بِلَالٌ بِالصَّلَاةِ. He ordered Bilal to establish the adhan. فَصَلَّى رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ رَكْعَتَيْنِ ثُمَّ صَلَّى الْغَدَاتِ فَصَنَعَ كَمَا كَانَ يَسْنَعُ كُلِّ يَوْمِ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered Bilal to establish the adhan. And after they woke up, the sun has already risen. They woke up and the sun is high in the sky. And they missed the fajr. They missed the fajr. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered for the adhan, and then he prayed to raka'ah, the sunnah of fajr. And then he prayed the fajr prayer, the morning prayer. And Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu, he says, فَصَنَعَ كَمَا كَانَ يَسْنَعُ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ. And he did the same thing he used to do every day, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he performed the same way. He didn't, and he missed the prayer unintentionally. So he didn't leave the sunnah, rather he kept the sunnah. He prayed the sunnah, and then he prayed the fajr. He did the same thing. Even in this situation, they made the adhan and the iqama and the lengths in a similar manner. And it's been in a similar manner, as if they are, yani, performing the prayer on time. As if they're performing the prayer on time. Likewise, it's been narrated from Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, another narration similar like this. Allah knows best, it's a different circumstance. Allahu alam. But he says, radiallahu anhu, this is the time of Hudaybiyah. And then a similar situation happened. And Bilal, likewise, he was required to wake them up. But this time, yani, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he woke up and he said, if'alu kama kuntum taf'alun. Do the same thing y'all used to do. Do the same thing y'all used to do. So he said, فَفَعَلْنَا. So we did what we used to do. And when you wake up for Fajr, you prepare for Fajr, you pray the Sunnah of Fajr, and then you get ready for Salah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to do the same thing you used to do. And he said, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَكَذَلِكَ فَفْعَلُوا لِمَنْ نَامَ أَوْ نَسِيَا. And like this, you should do the one who he sleeps, or the one who sleeps or forgets. The one who sleeps or forgets. So then he'll make it up the same way. He'll make it up the same way. And this is the issue here, of the missed prayer. And the missed prayer also is called al-fa'ita. Another vocabulary word that we can take, al-fa'ita. And the plural is al-fawa'it. Al-fawa'it. Min fata yafutu. Fawtan wa fawatan. Al-fawa'it. Al-jam'u fa'ita. And this is the prayer that's been missed. This is the prayer that's been missed. So we see here, the one who missed the prayer unintentionally, it's an obligation for him to make it up. And the people of knowledge have agreed about that. As for the one who delayed the prayer on purpose, and he intentionally, he knows the time, he does not have no intention to gather the prayer, or he does not have no shubha, for example, he thinks he's sick, he can't pray until later, or the sick person, he can't pray, or he didn't have a shubha, for example, if he didn't have wudu, he thinks he can't pray. La, he intentionally left the prayer and the time for the prayer on purpose. On purpose. The time goes on purpose, and he told himself he's not going to pray until the time is finished. Waliyadu billah, the people of knowledge, they differed about this person, and the majority of the scholars, and from them, Al-A'imma Al-Arba'ah, Abu Hanifa, and Malik, and Shafi'i, and Ahmed, rahimahumullah, all of them, they agreed that he has to make it up. But some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that he doesn't make it up. And if he made it up, it will not benefit him. And some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that even this person here, if it's one prayer, he disbelieved. This is one of the statements, and therefore he shouldn't make it up. The only thing he should do is repent. And the four imams or the jumhur, they mention that likewise, he'll have to repent. He'll repent and he'll make it up. If he delayed the prayer on purpose without any excuse until that time passed, then he will repent, and it's an obligation for him to repent from that and to make it up. But some of the people of knowledge, and from them Shaykh ibn Baz, he mentioned that no, if he left it on purpose, there's no making that up. And this is the opinion of some of the people of Ahl al-Dhahir, and also the opinion of Ibn Hazm. And Shaykh ibn Baz, he mentioned this, and likewise Shaykh Uthaymeen, he mentioned this. He will not make it up, rather because this is too great to be made up. And on purpose, he left it with no any excuse whatsoever. On purpose, this one, they have mentioned he disbelieved. Allah knows best. Yani the case, some of the people of knowledge mentioned that if he left a lot of them, then he will not make them up. But if he left one or a few of them, he'll make it up. Yani, but in any case, a believer, he will not do that. A believer, he will not do that. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ He will seek refuge with Allah Azza wa Jalla, that he would ever leave the prayer on purpose. This is that in his mind, in his heart, this is a major thing, that he will never leave the prayer on purpose. That he will always pray on the proper time, and he will strive to do that, no matter what situation he's in, and in the limits. And if he has a reason for combining them, he'll combine them. Or whatever situation he's in, yani there's ease in the religion. So there's a legislation that's easy, alhamdulillah. But he will never delay it on purpose without any excuse, for no reason, yani until the time goes. And Allah knows best if he should make it up or not make it up. Yani, but just to clarify the dangers of that affair, that some of the people of knowledge mentioned just with one prayer like this that he disbelieved. And so some of the people of knowledge would consider him a disbeliever. And therefore, that which a disbeliever does, the only thing that will rectify his affair is to repent and to start praying. And if he did that, then that which has preceded will be removed. لِأَنَّ الْإِسْلَامِ يَهْدِيمُ مَا كَانَ قَبْلَهُ At Islam, it removes everything that happened before. So there's no making that up, yani on that opinion. And Allah knows best. In any case, if a person, he left it on accident, then he makes it up in this manner. He makes it up in this manner. After this, the author, he says, وَعَنْ جَابِرِ بْنَ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنَّ مُعَاذَ إِبْنَ جَابِرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كَانَ يُصَلِي مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عِشَاءَ الْآخِرَةِ ثُمَّ يَرْجِعُ إِلَى قَوْمِهِ فَيُصَلِّي بِهِمْ تِلْكَ الصَّلَاةَ He mentioned a narration from Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma that Mu'adh, he's narrating on Mu'adh, Mu'adh ibn Jabir radiallahu anhu, he used to pray with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Isha al-Akhirah. And they have al-Isha al-Ula wa al-Isha al-Akhirah. Al-Isha al-Ula is Maghrib. Al-Maghrib. Al-Isha al-Akhirah is the Isha that we know, the night time. So they used to consider Maghrib al-Isha al-Ula, the first Isha. Yani in the nighttime, and then the thani or the second and akhirah, the later one, which is the night prayer that we know as al-isha. So Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he used to pray that prayer, the isha prayer, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he would go back to his people in al-awari, and he would lead them in the salah, in that same prayer. He would lead them in the same prayer. So here, Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he prayed the obligatory prayer of Isha with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam behind him. Yani he's praying as a ma'mum. And then he would return after that to his tribe and to his people and to his neighborhood radiallahu anhu, and he would lead them in the same prayer as an imam. He would lead them in the same prayer as an imam. And we have a number of benefits in this narration, likewise, and some more vocabulary. The issue here, or the main issue here from this narration, is the issue of Salat al-Muftarid Khalifa al-Mutanafil. So we have al-Muftarid min iftarada. Al-Muftarid, yani the one who is praying al-Farida, the one who is praying an obligatory prayer. He's called Muftarid. يعني اسم فاعل من افترض يفترض فهو مفترض المفترض من يصلي الفريضة والمتنفل من يصلي النافل the one who's praying a non-obligatory prayer. So this is some more vocabulary with regards to the chapter of Salah, المفترض and المتنفل. المتنفل الذي يتنفل يعني يصلي النافلة. So here we have the issue of the imam, he's praying Nafil. He's praying a non-obligatory prayer. And we have the ma'mum behind him is praying an obligatory prayer. Is praying an obligatory prayer. We understand the issue?
Yeah.
Is this allowed?
Yeah.
It's very clear, huh? This is what is happening in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mu'adh, he's doing this. Mu'adh, he's doing this. Mu'adh, he's praying the obligatory prayer behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he's returning to his people and leading them in the same prayer. In the same prayer. So therefore, he's leading them while he's praying a nafil, yani salat al-nafila. So he has intended to pray the prayer again as the imam, but he is praying it as a non-obligatory prayer, and they're praying behind him, and they're fulfilling the obligation of al-isha. So we see jawazu salat al-fariḍa khalfa man adaha, yani min qabl, yani man adaha min qabl, yani the person who will pray an obligatory prayer behind somebody who already prayed that prayer. And he's praying that prayer with the intention of at-tanafil. And jawaz al-muftarid khalfa al-mutanafil. And this is the case here, that the person, he could be praying an obligatory prayer behind somebody who has the intention to pray a non-obligatory prayer. To pray a non-obligatory prayer. It's clear? Alhamdulillah. We have some narrations from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Latu salu salatan fi yawmin marratain." Do not pray a prayer in one day twice. Collected by Abu Dawud. And another wording by An-Nasa'i, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تعاد الصلاة في يوم مرتين. That the prayer should not be repeated twice in one day. The prayer should not be repeated twice in one day. And also in another wording by Al-Bayhaqi, لا صلاة مكتوبة. لا صلاة مكتوبة في يوم مرتين. That there is no obligatory prayer in the day. Twice, in the day twice. So how do we understand the narration now?
You cannot pray.
The niyyah, ahsant. So that the niyyah had. Okay, what does that mean? With the same intention, you can't do that. Ahsant. This is the case here. So now we have another issue. It's called i'adatu salah. I'adatu salah. Min a'ada yu'idu a'id i'adatan. I'adatu salah al-wahida. And so here we have Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. He's praying, he's making i'ada. He's praying Isha twice. He's praying Isha one time behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then another time with his people as an imam. And here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "La tu'adu salat marratain fi yawm marratain." So the people of knowledge from the Imam Ahmed and also Ishaq ibn Rahuya, rahimahum Allahu ta'ala, they mentioned that what is intended by these prohibitions here is that he will not pray the same prayer with the same intention. And he will not pray Isha, for example, one time and then go pray Isha again with the intention of Isha as an obligation. He will not pray Isha one time to fulfill the obligation with the intention of the fard, and then go and pray the Isha again in the same night with the same intention of fard. He will not do this. This is the prohibition. As for repeating the same prayer with a different intention, like Mu'adh is doing, radiallahu anhu, this is allowed. This is allowed. Do you understand? So now he's praying the fard behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the intention of the fard. And then he goes to his people and he leads them in the same prayer with the intention of nafil. So now he is not falling into this prohibition, because the prohibition is with regards to the intention of praying an obligatory prayer twice. La salat al-maktuba fi yawm al-marratain. So he's not intending the salat maktuba. He already intended that behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and now whenever he leads his people, he's not intending the maktuba anymore. Any of the obligatory prayer. Now he's intending the non-obligatory prayer. So all of this is allowed, and all of this is permissible, and this is the evidence here for that. This is the evidence here for this. So a person, if he already prayed and he came to the masjid, for example, if he prayed at home and then he came to the masjid and the Muslims are praying behind the imam, he will not sit and watch them. He will not sit and watch them, and he will not say, "Oh, I already prayed. I already prayed like this." Or he'll be moving, he'll pray in one masjid, and then he'll leave and go to another masjid to meet somebody, or for a class, or for a lesson, or for whatever the reason may be. And he'll pray the obligatory prayer in one masjid, and then he'll even go to another masjid, and he'll get there and they're praying. He'll get there and they're praying the same prayer. What would he do? He will join them, and he will pray behind them. It's been narrated from Yazid ibn al-Aswad, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Hajjat al-Wada', they prayed in Masjid al-Khayf, and they prayed the morning prayer. They prayed the morning prayer, and there are two men who came, and they did not pray with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet is leading them in prayer in the Masjid, in Hajjat al-Wada', and the Masjid al-Khayf, and there's two people in the back. They didn't pray with him. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after he prayed, he said, "Aliya bihima, bring them to me. And he, so it's mentioned in this narration, "Faji'a bihima tar'adu fara'isuhuma." And he, from the khawf, that they're brought, and their shoulders, the this part of the shoulder, right here, is shaking, and quivering because they're afraid. And they prayed, and they didn't pray. And then the Prophet sallallahu called for them. So they came, and they're afraid. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he questioned them. He said, "Ma mana'akuma an tusalliya ma'ana?" What prohibited you two from praying with us? And he, first the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't accuse them. And he, what did he do? He questioned them. And he, what is your excuse? What prohibited you from praying with us? And this is the way of a believer. If he sees something that's not correct, he will not automatically accuse the people, but rather he will ask the reason. And for maybe a person, he has a legitimate excuse. Maybe he has a reason or a purpose, or something that would free him from blame. So therefore, a person, before he blames and finds fault and accusations, then he would check. "Ma mana'akuma an tusalliya ma'ana?" What prohibited you from praying with us? فَقَالَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّا كُنَّا قَدْ صَلَيْنَا فِي رِحَالِنَا. They said, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we already prayed in our homes and in our tents. We already prayed in our tents, and then we came here and you're praying." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Fala taf'ala," don't do that. "Idha salaytuma fi rihalikuma thumma ataytuma masjid jama'atin fasalliya ma'ahum." He said, if you already prayed in your homes, and then you came to the masjid and a congregation, and they're praying, then you pray with them. فَإِنَّهَا لَكُمْ نَافِلَةٌ. And it will be a non-obligatory prayer for you. So now we have the opposite in the picture, or the issue of Mu'adh. So the opposite is here. Now the Prophet is ordering them to pray a non-obligatory prayer behind the one who's praying the obligatory prayer. فَإِنَّهَا لَكُمْ نَافِلَةٌ. That's one benefit. Another benefit is that if somebody prayed the prayer, same prayer twice, which one is the obligatory prayer?
The first one.
Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if you already prayed and then you come to people praying and you pray with them, then pray with them. فَإِنَّهَا لَكُمْ نَافِلَةٌ. This one will be considered nafila. So the first one is the obligatory. Even if a person, he prayed by himself, and then he caught the jama'ah, and he, for whatever the case was, he prayed by himself the obligatory prayer, and then he caught a jama'ah, then the jama'ah is not obligatory for him. And the jama'ah is not obligatory for him. And فَإِنَّهَا لَكُمْ نافلة فإنها لكم نافلة. نافلة is not obligatory.
It's a sunnah. Like a sunnah bread.
What do you mean by sunnah? We know sunnah means different meanings.
نافلة.
نافلة. The sunnah prayers, they're nafila, but some of the sunnah prayers, for example, there's a nafila mutlaq, a nafila mutlaqa, that's what this is. A nafila al mutlaqa. It has no purpose, no specific reason. Some of the sunnah prayers, they have specific reasons, like duha, or like the sunnah before fajr. These are specific, non-obligatory prayers. These prayers are called nafila, but they're mu'ayyana, they're specific. So this one here is not specific.
Four rak'ah, I pray with them four rak'ah.
Yeah,
normally.
You pray the normal way. If you pray behind the imam, however he prays, that's how you pray. If you pray behind the imam, even if you're traveling and you pray behind the imam who is muqim, then you pray the way he prays. For example, if somebody's the chapter of traveling is going to come, but anybody, it's mentioned now, so. Yani, if somebody's praying, he's traveling and he caught the imam in the masjid, and for example, in the last rak'ah, and he prayed one rak'ah with the imam, Some people may think he's traveling, so he'll stand up and pray one more rak'ah and he's good. La. If the musafir, he catches the imam, he's praying behind the imam, he will pray and he caught him. Yani a rak'ah from his prayer, he will pray the prayer of the muqeem. He'll pray the prayer of the muqeem. Naam. But do you understand though? The intent of nafilah here is a nafilah mutlaqa. Yani that it's a non-obligatory prayer. It will be a non-obligatory prayer for him. There's another benefit here, yani that is permissible in this situation likewise to pray the non-obligatory prayer in the times whenever it's prohibited. Because from the times it's prohibited to pray is after the Salat al-Fajr. If somebody already prayed Salat al-Fajr, it's not allowed for him to pray again until the sun rises. La salat ba'da salat al-subhi hatta tatru' shams. The hadith is authentic. There's no fajr. There's no prayer after the fajr prayer until the sun rises. But this is an exception here. So if you are, and the Prophet ordered them at this time, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ordered them at this time. They already prayed, and he said, don't do that. If you come and they're praying, then pray again. And this was at fajr time. So he's telling them to repeat the prayer and to pray a non-obligatory prayer. Innaha lakum nafila. In the time when it's prohibited. So this is an exception from that rule. An exception from that rule when it's permissible. And again, similar like in Tahiyat al-Masjid. It's a reason for the prayer now. The non-obligatory prayer is allowed to pray in the prohibited times. And those prayers that have reasons. This is also from the evidences of that. This is also from the evidences of that. After this, the author, he says, وَعَنْ أَنَسِ بْنِ مَالِكٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالْ كُنَّا نُصَلِّي مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي شِدَّةِ الْحَرِّ فَإِذَا لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ أَحَدُنَا أَنْ يُمَكِّنَ جَبْهَتَهُ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ بَسَطَ ثَوْبَهُ فَسَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ. And the author, he mentioned now the narration of Anas ibn Malik رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, that he said, we used to pray with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم in the severe heat. And if we were not able to put our foreheads on the ground firmly, meaning for sujood, and because the ground is hot, then we would spread out our thobe, our garment, and we would prostrate on that. If he said, we used to pray with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fi shiddati al-har, in the severe heat. In the previous class we had the hadith Abi Hurairah and Al-Ibrad. How can that happen? If it's severe heat, they'll make Ibrad.
So that he
didn't always
delay.
Possibly. Wallahu a'lam, huh? That's what the people of knowledge mentioned. Although they will make Ibrad, it's still hot. It's still hot, but it's not as hot as it was before. And there's no contradiction here. They would even if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made Ibrad, sometimes maybe the ground will still be hot. It will still be hot. So he would make Ibrad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But here the narration here is that even if it's still hot, or even if they prayed and it didn't make it broad, for example, in any case, if the ground is hot, sometimes they would pray like that, radiyallahu anhum. And if they were not able to prostrate and put their heads firmly on the ground because of the severe heat, then they would stretch their thobe out, their garment, and they would prostrate on their garment.
So they still do it
in the time period? In the time period,
yeah.
Of Dhuhr.
Yeah.
Yeah, of Dhuhr. The Ibrad means to delay it later, yeah, in the time of Dhuhr, closer to Asr. The point is here is that even at that time, even after the delaying it, and it's still in the time, not delaying it out of the time, but delaying it later, it still maybe sometimes was hot, even after they delayed it. So it's hot, but not as hot as it was before. This is the case here, and Allah knows best. So they would put their thobe there to prostrate upon that. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned about this issue here, is that it's disliked to prostrate with the head on something, to put your head on something there, you need to prostrate upon it, and from the clothing, something from the clothing, like a taqiyah, like this, like the hat, or like a shimag, or whatever it may be, or to put something from the garment there. that is disliked. It's disliked to cover the forehead in the place of prostration. They mentioned with regards to the toes and the knees and the hands, they're it's not disliked. You can have a garment, you can have socks on, gloves on. There's no blame if one needs to. And the knees, there can be a garment there, of course, that's covered. So that would be on the garment. But as for the forehead, it's disliked. The scholars, they say it's disliked to prostrate with something from your garments on that spot. So a believer, whenever he's praying, he will not have his head hat down like this, covering his prostration and prostrating on the hat. Rather, he'll raise his hat, and so that his forehead, likewise the woman on the khimar, the place of prostration on the forehead, it should be on the ground. It should be firmly on the ground. There should be nothing there. And the evidence for that is disliked is that here that they would only put something there from their garments whenever it was severely hot, meaning that normally they do not do that. Normally they do not do that. So here the people of knowledge, they mention the issue of prostrating, a sujood ala al-ha'il. A sujood ala al-ha'il. To prostrate on a barrier. That's something between you and the ground. Something between you and the ground. To prostrate on something with your forehead. When we say prostrate, we're talking about the place of prostration on the forehead. To have something between the person praying and the ground. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that ha'il, or that thing that will be between the forehead and the ground, is two types. One of them is completely separate from his body. Al-ha'il al-munfasil. Yani an al-musalli. And this one, there's no blame in that. Alhamdulillah. To pray on a carpet or to pray on a mat. And the likes like this, and even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prayed on a mat, and the hadiths have preceded, and he prayed with Anas in his hat and his house, and Anas he prepared a hasira for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and cleaned it off for him, and the Prophet he prayed upon that, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this one here, if it's completely separate from the body, there's no blame in that, except for in two circumstances. Sheikh Sa'di, he mentioned except in two circumstances, and one of them is whenever a person, he would specify something just for his head only, just for his head only, and to prostrate for his forehead, just big enough for his head, not for his head, his head and his hands, for example, just big enough for his forehead to touch. And he mentioned the reason for this is because this is an imitation of the Rafidha. Imitation of the Rafidha. And it's disliked. At tashabbuh bi ahli shar la yajuz. It's not allowed to imitate the people of evil. And it's no doubt that they are people of evil. So therefore, I need to be like that. A believer will not do that. This one is disliked here. This one is disliked here to select something specifically, just the size of the forehead, to prostrate upon that. And it's similar to what they do, waliyadu billah. Yani, and the falsehood that they have likewise, yani, and the aqidah they have behind that, waliyadu billah, a falsehood, anyone would not be that and not be like that and resemble them like that. Yani, I remember now, subhanAllah, in the Masjid al-Nabawi, it's all tile, but there are rugs. So you would see them there, and they would stand on the end of the rug. They wouldn't stand back on the rug and prostrate on the rug. They'll stand on the end of the rug so that their forehead would prostrate on the, everybody is standing on the rug, and they'll stand on the tip of the rug, and so that their prostration will be on the tile. And so in any case, somebody who would not specify something like this. Another circumstance aside that he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, is a person who prays on a mat because he thinks, and he has waswasa, and he thinks that there's like najasa on the ground, or he's afraid that maybe there's possibly najasa here, and from the waswasa and from the extremism and being meticulous and the likes like this, this one is also disliked to bring a rug in case there might be najasa there. Any of the origin with regards to the carpet and the ground and the clothing and the likes like this and the areas that it's tahara. The origin is that it's clean and it's pure. So somebody will not have the waswat. Maybe somebody he dropped something here, maybe something spilled here, or maybe there was a kid here, or maybe until the end of that. This is all from the wasawas of shaitan. So a believer, he will not bring a prayer on a mat for that. But if it's other than this, and he prayed on a carpet, alhamdulillah, there's no blame. Inshallah, or he prayed on something that's not attached to him, and there's no blame, inshallah. Then the other case is if he prayed with something that's attached to him, praying with something that is attached to him. The people of knowledge, they mentioned, for example, if he prayed on his hand, when I say pray, I mean prostrate. When he prostrate on his hand, if he prostrate on one of, like, put his hand on top of his hand and prostrated, or if he put one of his hands down and he prostrate on his hand and not on this, then the prostration is not correct. The prostration is not correct. If he put his hand down and then prostrate on his hand, or put his hands down like this and prostrate on his hand, even if it's hot. This is not correct and will not be accepted, and the sujood is incorrect, and he did not fulfill the pillar of prostration. But the issue here, the issue of prostrating on something that's attached to you, meaning from your clothing. This is the issue that Anas is clarifying here, radiallahu anhu. They only did that fi shiddati al-har. They only did that when it's extremely hot. So therefore it's disliked. It's disliked to have a shimag or to have something on the head covering the place of prostration, and to prostrate on that if it's from the clothing. So if it's not necessary, a believer will not do that. If it's hot outside and or it's very cold likewise, if the ground is very hot or very cold likewise, he can put his garment there and prostrate on that. But the origin is that he will not do that. Rather, it's disliked with the majority of the people of knowledge.
Does this also mean, say I'm praying and it's real hot and I have an additional garment on, like a jacket, and I put that down? Does it mean that also?
No. We think about the wording. They say there's something that's munfasil and something that's muntasil.
Okay.
So even if it was a garment, but it's not attached to you, meaning you're not wearing it, somebody, for example, he had an extra thobe, he threw it on the ground. This one takes the ruling of the sajada. It's not connected to you. So, wallahu a'lam, that's the benefit of the wording of the people of knowledge. They say yani al-ha'il al-munfasil wal-ha'il al-muttasil, any whatever it may be. So if it's not connected to you, it's not attached to you by wearing it in the likes like this, whatever it may be, inshallah, if it's pure, it's clean, alhamdulillah, you can prostrate on it and there's no blame. But if it's connected to you, meaning you're wearing it, this is the one that is disliked. This is the one that is disliked. After this, the author, he says, عَنَ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا يُصَلِّي أحدكم في الثوب الواحد ليس على عاتقه منه شيء. He mentioned the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that one of you should not pray in one garment without having anything from it on his shoulder. And this is the wording here, على عاتقه. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that the majority of the nusakh of Sahih Bukhari and Muslim is that it says ala atiqayhi, on his shoulders, on both of his shoulders. But there are some prints that have atiqihi, and also it has come in Sunan and Nasa'i ala atiqihi, meaning one shoulder. But the majority of the wordings, the majority of the prints of Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, it mentioned on both of his shoulders. So this narration here is related to Satr al-Awra. Satru al-awrati fi salah. And we know that covering the awrah and the privates is a condition of the prayer. But the awrah of the person outside of salah is different from the awrah in the salah. The awrah of a man and a woman likewise, and a child, the awrah of a person in the prayer is different from a person out of the prayer. So the majority of the people of knowledge have mentioned that covering the shoulders, and for a male, covering the shoulders is recommended. It's not an obligation. It's from the beauty of the prayer that one should cover his shoulders. If he covered his awrah, meaning from the navel to the knees, this is what is obligatory. And the covering the shoulders is from the completion of that, or from the beauty of that, and it's not an obligation. But Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned from the likes of this narration that rather covering at least one of the shoulders is also part of the awrah in the salat. It has to be covered, and if he did not cover at least one of them while he's able to, then his prayer would not be accepted. And this is the statement of Imam Ahmed, and likewise Sheikh Ibn Baz. Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this any with regards to the one who is able to. If he's not able to, of course he's excused. If he only had one garment, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told Jabir radiallahu anhu that if he had only one garment, فَلْتَحِفْ بِهِ, and he wrap it around you entirely, meaning on your shoulders. When can that, if it was wide, in كَانَ وَاسِعًا فَلْتَحِفْ بِهِ, when كَانَ ضَيِّقًا فَتَّزِرْ بِهِ, but if it was tight, meaning the garment is not big enough, then use it as an izar, meaning a lower garment. And so he'll be excused in this circumstance here. But the Hanabila and from them or who follow this opinion, Ibn Baz, and likewise, as I mentioned, Ahmed al-Najmi, rahimahumullah, he mentioned that the one who is able to, he must cover it. The one who is able to, and he must cover it, at least one of them. If he did not, while he's able to, yani Sheikh Ibn Baz and the Hanabi, they mention his prayer is not correct. His prayer is not correct. If he had the ability, and then he did not cover his shoulder in the prayer, and he's able to. Like, for example, somebody had one of those tank tops on, and his shoulders are exposed, and he has a jacket or another shirt with him, and he just laid it down, and he prayed like this. While he knows, then his prayer, yani, according to them, would be invalidated. Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that the prayer will be correct, but he'll be sinning. And to invalidate the prayer, he said this is something that requires more details to declare the believer's worship invalidated, and a clear evidence. But as for the sin, then he's sinning with regards to this. So Allah knows best. This is the best opinion, that the one who is praying, the male, if he's able to cover his shoulders, he should cover them. It's an obligation if he's able to. And if he didn't, then he's sinning. His prayer is correct, but he's sinning. So this is from the beauty of the prayer and from the zina of the prayer. And this is the minimum amount of a believer. He would not pray with his shoulders uncovered. And he will cover his shoulders. And Allah knows best. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.